fantastic. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to welcome everybody to Project Zainab Live Wednesday with Sheikh Hamza Sodagar. Our topic is akhlaq, and akhlaq from the Quran. This is our third part of the series. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've benefited so much from Sheikh Hamza, and we've learned that there are several things that kind of put akhlaq in its place. What we seek from the Quran comes by our akhlaq in understanding the Quran and trusting the Quran to give us the information that it does, and not to manipulate the information to suit ourselves, which often happens. So it's about getting the correct understanding of the Quran and then benefiting it in our lives with the relations that we have. Silah Irham is an extremely important issue and topic, and we always want to kind of bring that back to you because we live in such times where it's so neglected, and we think about other things, and we kind of think about morality in itself. And a good point that was just brought is that morality doesn't mean just being kind and being good, but you know, you have to kind of manifest akhlaq in yourself, and that kind of, and becoming an ambassador of akhlaq too. This is Lady Zainab birthday week, birthday anniversary week, and it's really important to bring home to people that akhlaq of Lady Zainab Salaam Alayha met such precedence over so many things, that she knew what and when to speak, when to stand for justice, when to speak the truth. But she did it in a way where akhlaq, her akhlaq meant so much to so many people, and that she was about, she was allowed to, permitted to bring the message home to people about her, not only the tragedy of Karbala, but at the same time, the result was going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just before we start Sheikh Hamza's lecture for tonight, just want to recap on what was said last week. And if I'm correct, it was all about, we looked at three different surahs, one of them being Surah Al-Qalam, one of them being Surah Al-Fat, and one being Surah Al-Azab, and that was verse number 26. In Surah Al-Qalam, Sheikh emphasized akhlaq in respect of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, that it wasn't all about how he should be himself, but how he should be with the hypocrites of the time, and that the munafiqeen around that that era, especially when this was a very new message, because Surah Al-Qalam was one of the very first surahs from the Quran that was revealed to the Prophet, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized the fact that he should have an akhlaq as such, or that Allah was happy with his akhlaq, and that there was a form of reassurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the aspect that the Prophet must continue his akhlaq in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to be so. Because if by means there were any other form of, or you know, other form of akhlaq that was used at that particular time, it had to be the one that said that, you know, I have to bring you to Islam with my kindness and my morality, but at the same time, I have to make sure that I do not personally side with you and your hypocritical views of Islam. So it's very important for when we do talk about akhlaq and we talk about morality, is that yes, we are good, we are kind, we are people that bring people to Islam, but at the same time, you have to be very careful of your enemies and you don't side with them in any part. So that was an emphasis by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Prophet himself. It's very important to know that when people talk about, oh, the Prophet had such an akhlaq that he would never kill somebody, Shaykh emphasized the fact that killing wasn't just because Prophet just went out one day and he decided to kill people. It was to bring in Islam, but it was for the right purpose, and it was defending Islam. A lot of people get this wrong, and people try to defend the Prophet by saying, oh, but he would never kill a fly, and use that kind of attitude or phrase. But the fact is that there were wars going on. Like with any other things, even in the modern times, there are wars, but we continue to fight against oppression, we fight against injustices, and we make sure we keep our stand. We have a qiyam, and we stand on the path, which is the truthful path. And that was the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's anything else that I've kind of missed, Sheikh, please forgive my shortcomings.
May Allah bless you. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Bari'il Khalaiq Ajma'in, Ba'athil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina, wa Habib Qulubina wa Tabib Nufusina wa Shafi' Dhunubina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad, wa ala Ahli Baytihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin al-Ma'asumin al-Mukarramin al-Muntajabin, la Siyama Baqiyatallah fil Aradin Ruhi wa Arwahul Alameena lahul Fida. ولعنتullah على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. I would like to congratulate everyone on the birth of Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alayha, and encourage everyone to look at her and try to learn from her. And in the context of our discussion of akhlaq, her akhlaq in the family in many ways, both the kindness shown and the firmness at times shown within the family, outside the family, both of those, which is, as we mentioned in last week, and Sister Ruhi recapped very well, the emphasis that we had is that akhlaq is a holistic approach towards one's behavior and character, and one is not told in the Quran to be always lenient. There is lenience where that's due. There is firmness and there is harshness even at times. That's part of akhlaq. And to sum it up, it's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Looking at Zainab salamullahi alayha is looking at someone who has known better than us what God's akhlaq, what His desired akhlaq for us is, and has implemented it in some of the most difficult conditions. And hopefully we will look at that and learn from that. And we ask her to guide us in that way. There's a lot that's missing, unfortunately, in the history of Zainab salamullahi alayha. She was part of a family that included the Prophet, Amirul Mu'mineen, Fatimatu Zahra, Imam Hassan, and Imam al-Husayn. And they are five of the Ma'sumeen. And she's not a Ma'sumeen, as because of those great figures, we have not been able to see her as much in history. And that's part of her greatness, of course. If she wanted to be noticed more than what she is, then that would have been against the akhlaq that Allah would want. However, it is our responsibility to look back and try to analyze and understand as the best follower at the time amongst the non-ma'sumeen of the Holy Prophet, of Amir al-Mu'minin, of Fatimatu Zahra, salamullahi alayha, of Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, from her childhood onwards is Zainab, salamullahi alayha, above all, I mean, this should be emphasized. And so it's our job to go back and try to find that and see what she did and learn from that, inshallah. What I'd like to discuss this week is give us a general guideline, I think I can say, this general guideline that we have in the Quran. I'll share the verses that I have in mind. There's two main verses, then a few other verses that are going to be helping us with the understanding of those two verses. But before getting into the verses, I would like to say that the verse includes two general principles. One, general principle in terms of akhlaq and adab towards mu'mineen. And the other is a general principle in regards to akhlaq and adab towards kuffar. Our focus here is our adab and akhlaq amongst believers. What we do with disbelievers, and I mean disbelievers or kuffar, I emphasize, I don't use that word the way it's commonly used many times, which is to refer to simply someone who is not Muslim. And unfortunately, in amongst some Muslimin, it's used even towards Muslimin that don't exactly agree with them. I don't mean it in any of those ways. What I mean by it is the way the Quran mentions it, which is people who are covering Islam after seeing it, covering God up for themselves, first and foremost, and rejecting that belief, rejecting the Day of Judgment, and so on and so forth, which are a few. These are a few. And of course, while others who are not amongst, who are not like them, have joined them in a certain way, they would be part of the movement of the kuffar. Anyway, I don't. The point is, our focus is not that, so we're not really going to discuss that. What we're going to be discussing is the part about the mu'minin. Without further ado, I think we mentioned this verse, and that's where I'm going to be starting. Last week in Surah Al-Fath, and Ruhi mentioned this in her recap, the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet and those who are with him. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Muhammadun Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. It's an amazing verse. It's very much required for us to look at that because it tells us, all of us, we're mu'mineen, inshallah, we're muslimin. We want to be Muslim, we want to be believers, and we want to see what God says a believer is in his eyes. And so this description given here of the mu'mineen is really nice. And it goes on, of course, the verse, that's only the first line. There's about two, four, five more lines. That was only one line. Five more lines in the description of the mu'mineen. Every line has its own really beautiful point that we need to take from it. But right now, we don't even deal with the whole of the first line. It's that ruhama baynahum. So the principle generally, what we get from this is that amongst themselves, those who are with the Prophet, mu'mineen, muslimin, we side with the Prophet, all of us, muslimin, whether it's whatever sect it is, Shia, Sunni, we identify the Prophet as the last Prophet, we want to be with him. And so if you want to be with him, he says, ruhama baynahum, they need to have the approach of ruhama. What does ruhama baynahum mean? Ruhama is the plural of rahim. One of the words we always used in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the last word there in that phrase, God is, we say, the compassionate, the merciful. That's one of the translations. There's many translations. And those words, it's really hard to tell what the differences are in the English language. In Arabic, it's a very clear difference between the two attributes of Rahman and Rahim. They both originate or are derived from the same source and from the same origin, which is Rahmah or Rahimah, the three letters Ra, Ha, and Mim, which is roughly translated as mercy. But the differences have been discussed by ulama. Rahim means someone who has got a lot of Rahmah. Okay, it emphasizes on quantity, in a sense. There being a lot of rahmah, okay? Very merciful, okay? Not just simply having mercy. It stresses on being there. So between themselves, towards one another, mu'mineen, generally, this doesn't tell us of any particular behavior. This doesn't say salam, for instance. It doesn't say smile. It doesn't say turn your head this way or that way or sit this way or sit that way or don't say this or do say that. It's no particular action, okay? It's not an action. Akhlaq starts from something that's within. It says that your approach towards another believer has got to be rahim, full of mercy. When you look at, when you see, when you approach, when you're dealing with another believer, and what I mean by believer, again, we need to define these words. This is Muslimin, alladhina ma'ah, to whatever degree. A Muslim is with the Prophet. We will come, some of the verses that we will address in Surah Hujarat, let me just put it that way, I'm not sure if we're going to be studying that particular verse today, but it talks about Muslimin, and it refers to them as mu'minin, and it talks about them fighting, two mu'min groups, fighting and getting involved with war. Okay, well, how can you be with the Prophet and then get involved with war? So that means that the definition of mu'min is such that it would include cases of rebellion against what God has said, to an extent where they could be fighting each other, at least one of them being wrong in doing that. Okay, so if we are Muslimin, it says that our approach towards one another, whatever sect we're from, if we are Muslimin, الَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, سُرُحَمَا, means we are Rahim. It means we are Rahim towards you. As soon as you come across a Muslim, a Muslimah, male, female, if you identify them as a Muslim, your approach, the way you think of them, the way you see them, okay, has got to be that my approach towards them is Rahmah, in abundance, full of rahmah, full of mercy. This will affect my language in speaking to them. Once that internal part that, see, one of the problems we have here, I've come across this many times. We see people in stores, we're living in predominantly in non-Muslim countries, right? There may be some that are living in Muslim countries, in many ways they're very fortunate. But we live generally, well, I'm in, here in California, those of you who are in London, Dublin, other cities, we live in predominantly non-Muslim countries. Most people are not Muslim. So we're going about our business, going to the store, we looking at whatever we need and so on and so forth. And people are normal. Sometimes when we see Muslimin, it seems like we start to get uncomfortable. Instead of seeing a mu'min, a Muslim, a hijabi, a face that looks Muslim because of a beard, because of the attire, because of whatever it is, we start to identify them as Muslim. Somehow, I've seen many times in people, and then unfortunately, I confess, I have found that in myself, and I have to speak to myself and punish myself. What the heck is wrong with you? Why is it that when you saw all these Joes and Johns and I don't know, whatever female names, you're just normal. You saw a Muslim and now you feel uncomfortable. That inner part with the inside, the what's in our headspace, what's in our minds, what's in our hearts, has got to change. This is what this verse is about. Once we understand that our approach, if I want to be with those who are with the Prophet, then whoever is with the Prophet, and the lowest level of Islam and Iman is included in that. No matter how much sin there is, they're not wearing hijab, they're doing this wrong, they're doing that wrong, it doesn't matter. They're still mu'min, they're still Muslim, they're classified as alladhina ma'ah. Be it that there's a lot of distance between what they're doing, what they're saying, the way they're behaving, the way they're thinking, and what the Prophet has said. However, they want to be with the Prophet. That's what iman means. They haven't disassociated. They like the Prophet. They love the Prophet. Be it, again, that there are shortcomings or whatever. As soon as we come across such a person, our approach towards them in our minds, in our hearts, is that I have to be full of mercy towards them. So back to the example, that means if I come across, as soon as I feel this is a Muslim, I should feel joyful. I should feel that I want to show mercy in abundance, okay? To them, in saying salam, in helping them if I can, if there's need or whatever. But at the very least, just, you know, being nicer to them. If I was behaving towards everyone as just a normal person, if I see them, then something at least a little above that towards them, not a little below that. We start seeing each other, start like turning away and getting uncomfortable. And God forbid someone say, Salamun alaykum. And then the other person running away, I don't want to be associated with a Muslim here or whatever. No, it should be mercy. So if that approach starts to change, when we come, another example that I can say to show what I mean by what this verse is trying, this is what we're explaining here. I'm not talking about specific behavior. The point is, this verse is not telling us specific behavioral etiquettes, okay, of do this or do that. It changes your approach, how you need to be towards them. Then that is going to reflect in your behavior in many ways that the specifics can't be counted. It's countless details of etiquettes. Internally, you have to feel that I want to show mercy in abundance. So one of the other areas, one of the other examples that this can show itself is that if I walk into a center of Muslimin, whatever sect they're from, okay, the way I should feel towards them. Now, let me stop ourselves right here. Usually when we talk about akhlaq and we give examples, especially when it's, I mean, let's correct that. When we talk about negative examples, we are quick to think of others, okay, and not myself, okay. And that is a big mistake. We have plenty of hadith. We're never going to get things right if we're going to be doing that. I really have to focus on my, it doesn't matter. I walk into a center, yes, centers are not welcoming, this is not that, all these problems, that's fine. That's not me. Okay, I'm walking in, whatever, it doesn't say, be merciful towards those who smiled at you. So let's say I walk into the worst setup in any center. Their faces do not look approachable. Nobody came up and said salam to me. Nobody asked where the heck I came from, what I want to do, this, that, the other. They kicked my mor, they did this, my torba, sajdaga, whatever you call it. They did all these things. The worst case scenario you can imagine. The question is, are they alladhina ma'a Rasulullah? Do they like Rasulullah or do they not? If they are, this verse says, ruhama baynahum. It doesn't matter what the other person does or says. My approach should be rahmah in abundance. Okay. Filled with mercy towards them. Part of that is to pardon that bad behavior. Pardon that bad behavior. One of the problems we have here is this encouragement to stand up for your rights. And that is interpreted in a way where it means don't be lenient. If somebody misbehaves, don't be kind to them. Don't be forgiving. No, that's not the point. No, towards mu'mineen, part of the rahmah is, okay, they made a mistake. They had a misunderstanding. They did this wrong. First says, ruhama baynahum. I have got to show mercy and abundance. Part of that is turn a blind eye. You know, there's a positive kufr. That word is not used. There's another word used, but I want to use this word because we've translated it as covering. I want to use that for that reason. There's a good version of that, and that is cover your eyes from the wrongdoing of someone else, especially if it's towards you. Something wrong, cover your eyes. Act as though you never saw that. I didn't see that misbehavior. I didn't see that mistreatment. I didn't see that kicking of the torba. It's out of ignorance. They think we worship. I'm giving these examples on purpose. They think we're worshiping that torba. It's ignorance. We don't worship the torba. We're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a faqhi difference of opinion. Amongst Muslimin people, different ulama have different understandings of what Islamic rule is. We shouldn't misinterpret that behavior. And if somebody does, our approach towards someone who's done that to us is what this verse. So what is this verse telling us? General principle in akhlaq that's going to change our approach towards Muslimin is that we've got to have rahmah in abundance. There's another verse in the Holy Quran that again gives us this general understanding of akhlaq in regards to mu'mineen. I will emphasize mu'mineen, Muslimin, believers, those who identify as Muslim, they love the Prophet, they want to go by his teachings, they want to go by what the Quran says. These are Muslimin, mu'mineen, alladhina ma'a. There's another verse that uses a slightly different wording, and if I may pull it up, give me a second. I believe there, no. There we go. Surah Al-Ma'idah, Verse 54. Please go to that verse after the session and read the verses afterwards as well. There's a lot of really nice points that you can take from that if you just go and read those, try to think about them a little bit, spend a little bit of time thinking about the connections there. But in this verse, what we have, I'm going to read the part that's relative to us, okay? It says, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Okay. A little bit of context, is, I think it'll help the understanding here. This is at a time where, one way or another, people did not abide by and did not go with what the Prophet said. And how so? It's a long story. But the verse starts with this, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. It addresses the believers and says, whoever rejects this and leaves. Okay, so that's very serious. So those who are part of the Muslimin and then leaving. Don't think if you leave Islam, Islam is going to die out or Islam is going to be, or in other words, don't think Islam needs you. Okay, that's not the case. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ. God will bring a people. You can leave, any one of you wants. God will definitely bring a people. بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. He loves them, they love him. And then the second description there, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Their approach towards mu'mineen. It talks about their approach towards kufar as well. That's not our focus. I'm not even going to mention it. Towards mu'mineen, أَذِلَّةٍ. The other word we had there was رُحَمَاء, the plural of رَحِيم. This is أَذِلَّةٍ, the plural of ذَلِيل. ذَلِيل sometimes has a negative connotation to it. It's humiliation. It's to be low. Okay, being low or taking someone, belittling you or lowering you, where they're not supposed to, and you're not supposed to accept that, or doing something that lowers you, and in a sense you're bowing to another human being, is not good. However, God says here, this is a good description. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They lower themselves towards the mu'minin. Again, this is the way we feel towards mu'minin. Okay, this is an internal thing. It's related to akhlaq in that it corrects the way we feel. Once you correct that, then your behavior is going to change. If we don't correct that, we can't make corrections to our behavior. It's going to be very difficult, and that's why we have these verses. So it's not, again, particular etiquette here or there, do this, do that. So just generally, their approach towards mu'minin is adilla. They feel themselves lower. Okay. And then to understand it better, after that it says, a'izzatin alal kafirin. Towards the kuffar, they have this izzah. Okay. In other words, they feel superior, not as a person. We'll get to a chapter that discusses that. It's not saying feel superior towards a people with the quality of kufr. It says feel superior towards kufar, which are a people with this quality. In other words, from the perspective of this quality. And this is for another time, but just to give you a glimpse of what it means. We actually have the problem of feeling lower than the kuffar, and that's what has caused us to be influenced by the kuffar. We go to Muslim countries, we see everything is influenced by Western culture, by the culture of the kuffar. Why? Because we feel inferior. So don't feel inferior. Okay. Towards the mu'mineen, that's fine, that's actually good. Adhila, lower yourself, feel low. Okay, feel low. Not act low. Sometimes we call it tawadu and say, okay, lowering, humbling yourself and lowering yourself in words. A lot of times it's hypocritical. It's not real. Okay. It's not based on a real feeling that I am low. It's an act put on because we feel that, you know, that's praised. That behavior is praised as something good. So I'm really showing off some good behavior. It says feel low. Okay. Feel low towards the believers. Towards the kuffar, it says, a'izzah, feel proud, feel above. Okay, again, this does not mean that towards I don't know, British people that are not Muslim, Caucasians that are not Muslim, of whatever country, feel superior to them in a racial way. No, we will have that. It's about this. If a people's way of life is kufr, from that perspective, do not feel low towards them. Feel actually above them, superior. You're supposed to feel that way. So this helps us understand a little better that internal feeling when we get to a Muslim is that I'm lower. Adilla, I feel like dhalil. Okay, feel low. Once I feel low towards them, then again, the way I'm going to be approaching them, one of the examples, I think a lot of the problems that we have is that we get offended by something a person does or says to us. We get offended. This will resolve that. If I feel lower, I won't get offended. If I lower myself, if I feel low, which means I don't feel I deserve any better behavior from them towards me. When I feel like I do, that means I consider myself higher. I feel high. I feel I deserve a certain respect, a certain behavior, a certain type of speaking to me. If that's not met, if it's lower than that, I feel offended. Lower yourself. When you lower ourselves, all those are resolved. And I have found myself so many times. My anger towards the other person that causes, at the very least, for me not to even be able to treat them with the mercy that was spoken of in the other verse, is because I felt they disrespected me. They did something that offended me. I feel this negative vibe from them. Well, lower yourself. I have to lower myself. If I would have lowered myself in those cases, then like, oh, he said this. For instance, I'll tell you something that people get a little, I've seen some reverts have this because they were told. I'll explain. So for example, titles. Okay. So this is on my head. People generally, there's this title. They say, oh, Sheikh this, Sheikh that. Okay. There's some people that come like, okay, we're Muslimin. I thought the term was brother. So they just come up and say brother. Okay. Then somebody tells them, no, you're not supposed to say brother. You're supposed to say sheikh. Okay. If you say brother, it's disrespectful. Okay. So seeing it in people, I've seen people that I can tell they were just told that. They refer to me as brother. And then they correct themselves like, I'm sorry, sheikh. And they say it in a way you feel like they didn't want to offend. Like, why should that be offensive? What's wrong with brother? Is there anything wrong? No, I can't be called a brother. I have to be called a sheikh. Okay. And so that's for them, you know, okay. I mean, if you think that's more respectful, you want to do that. You wanting to respect is a good thing for you. On this end, if I feel offended because somebody just called me a brother, not sheikh. Okay. What does that mean? It means that I consider myself at a higher rank. I deserve a certain type of respect. I deserve that in my presence, you dare speak about this or that or whatever. Al-ayyadu billah, nastajiru billah. We seek refuge in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the instances, or the, just a few instances, just rushed to my head of prophets. The way the prophet behaved towards the mu'mineen, we're going to get to that, so I'll leave that in Surah Hujurat. God tells the believers, don't speak to the prophet in that way. He never told the people, don't speak to me in this way, feel offended or any of that. God said for their good, don't do this. It's not good for you. The prophet never felt that, oh, I'm offended. Why the heck did you speak to me in this way? Why'd you raise your voice in my presence? No, the prophet feels very low, lower than they, kuffar, muslimin, everybody. There's so much. Like, how did he feel? He had lowered himself. Especially towards mu'min, adillatin ala al-mu'minin. The Prophet did this more than anyone else. Then the prophet told them, meaning, don't speak to the prophet this way. It's bad for you if you speak to him in this way. That's one general example. We're going to talk about Surah Hujurat in a little bit. The other thing is that I remember this great story of Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. It's very nice, these stories of our prophets, as we, for those who don't know, this needs to be mentioned. For those who know, we need to be reminded, out of the best of God's creation, right below the 14 ma'asumeen are all these prophets, okay, these great prophets that we need to know a lot more about. So there's this story that we have from our imams. They've told us of this, that Jesus one day told his disciples, I want to do something. I want you guys to tell me that you will allow me to do it. He said, what is it? I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you have to assure me that when I do this, you're going to trust me or you're not going to prevent me from doing it. They gave their word. They said, it's okay. He said, okay, bring me a tub of water. And meaning, not he didn't tell them. I'm sorry, the way I put it. He brought water. He brought water and he put that water beneath their feet, took their feet, put it in that water, started massaging their feet, cleaning their feet in that water. One very nice and very... a lot of care, a prophet, and these are his disciples. Then he explains, it's not just the behavior. He said to them, I'm doing this to you so that you will learn you need to do this to people. Okay. Your approach towards people needs to be this. This is an example. Again, the verse doesn't say do this particular, have that behavior. When you have adhillatin ala al-mu'mineen, then you will behave. That's one of the ways it's going to reflect. These are two general sayings that we have in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us our approach. And I hope that we can change that approach that we have. Our approach is generally not that. If we like a person, whether they're Muslim or not, we like them, we behave in this way. If we don't like them, whether they're Muslim or not, we don't like to treat them in this way. The Quran says, the way you treat people, at least this part of it we're dealing with. If they are Muslim, this is how you treat them. If they are believers, this is how you treat them. Of course, the level of lowering yourself and the level of rahmah you show, because the element or the criteria, or the criterion rather, of this behavior in these verses is iman, and iman is a concept that is gradational. It has various degrees and levels. Then our approach towards someone at a higher level of iman should be more of both of those. And so for that reason it is that our dhillah, feeling dhalil in respect to the Prophet, in respect to Fatima al-Zahra, in respect to Amir al-Mu'mineen, in respect to Hassanayn salamullah alayhim, in respect to the Imams, is a lot more dhillah than we would have in respect to our ulama even. And what we will find in amongst the in respect to the ulama that are reflecting the iman that is closer to the Prophet and to the Ahlul Bayt, we won't have the same level of dhillah towards a Muslim that is unfortunately not following up on their deen as much. However, that doesn't mean we leave that. No, I need to be adhillatun ala al-mu'mineen. All these people are classified in this behavior as mu'mineen. Of course, we show more dhillah towards the Prophet, obviously towards the Imam, towards ulama. And what I mean by ulama is not somebody who's simply studied. We've had people that didn't study in the Hawza at all. Okay, never spent a day in the Hawza. Their ilm of Islam is greater than many of those who did study in the Hawza. Okay, ilm, according to the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, is knowledge with action. So the person who learned of Islam aspects that caused them to behave more like what the Prophet wanted, more like what the Quran tells us, more like what the Imams have told us. They are more of an alim than someone that has this amama on their head if they don't act according to what they know, if they're not doing. And that's why we have a whole series of hadith and warnings in the Quran as well. If you learn more and you don't implement, then be waiting for some serious treatment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Let me go to Surah Hujurat. It's an amazing chapter. I think many of us may have heard this chapter deals with akhlaq. There's a lot of different verses. There is, in a sense, more practical. I wanted to say more of those etiquettes. I changed that. It's not really specific, this particular act here and there. It's general guidelines, but it's a little more practical instead of being the approach internally, the way you feel, the way you think of another person, although it includes that as well. There's a lot of really nice stuff. I'm actually going to have to skip on those the verses I referred to that God tells the people don't speak to the Prophet in this way. Those are the earlier verses of the chapter. I don't have time to go over those, and those don't really aren't directly involved or related to our discussion. So that's why I'm skipping on them. I want to start with verse 10, which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. Mu'min, believers, again, with all the different degrees, some way up there, some way down here like me. Okay, a person that's way down here is still a mu'min. I can't look at them and say, oh, you know, as long as they're within the folds of iman, then they're mu'min. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. There's, we are brothers and siblings. We can use that word. Because this is not gender, these words are meant in a gender-neutral way, okay, if that makes sense. This is not meaning men, because those are masculine words. Mu'minun is masculine, ikhwa is masculine, brothers, obviously, that's masculine, you know, there's nothing feminine about that, and it's not, in terms of the word itself, but in terms of speaking, this is a way of speaking. It doesn't mean gender, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the element of faith and the relationship of two people being siblings. So you are siblings. إنما المؤمنون إخوة. And it says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. If there are two brothers fighting, two siblings fighting, those who are within the family, other siblings, how do you deal with that when there are two siblings amongst you fighting? Well, you're supposed to help them stop fighting. Now, the verse before that is talking about war actually happening and killing between Muslimin and how to deal with that. So that's not the discussion here. That one line there is really important. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The conclusion or the practical advice here is فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. When there are differences, when there are disputes, when there's things that are happening, try to reform that relationship, try to help change that relationship, change the one who's doing wrong, okay? Try to correct that. It doesn't mean everybody be okay. You know, whatever happened, just smile at each other. No, it says, in fact, in the previous verse, just because we mentioned that, that is an important point. It says in the previous verse, فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ, says when there's two groups fighting each other, فَقَاتِلُ الَّتِي تَبْغِي. First it says, if they don't stop fighting, then identify who the wrong group fighting the other is. So one is defending, the other one is starting an offensive, an act of aggression. The other group is defending themselves. Don't say, oh, stop fighting, and so the aggressive one is going to continue their aggression. The other guy says, okay, we're going to lower our guards, and then they kill more of them. No, don't do that. So just tell them to stop. If they don't stop, then you join the one who is being oppressed. Fight, قاتلوا, the ones who is acting in aggression. So it doesn't mean that just say, okay, you know, just smile. That's not what it means. And then it emphasizes, فَإِنْ فَاتَتْ, fight them, the ones who are acting in aggression, and not just kill them all. That's not the point. Fight them to push them to agree to go based on what God says. If they do that, then what do you do? فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ. Correct their relationship with justice. If they, whatever wrong they did, they've got to correct that. You can't bring them together and just say, oh, be nice, everybody forgive each other. No, forgiveness is the right of the other group. If they choose, they can choose that. I, getting involved in this, can't force that person to, I can say, look, it's your choice. It's you. You've been wronged. You have a right here. If you want to do that, it's fine. If you want to forgive, then Allah is all merciful and so on and so forth. But identify that wrong and say that that is wrong, and they have a right to uphold their right. And they will have to pay it if they want it. And I will, if they don't want to, I got to push them. No, they wanted it. You have to. You can't get me to talk to them not to want that. No, you did something wrong. You've got to fix that. Okay. So, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَادْلَ وَأَقْسِطُوا. Now, this is important. The reason, one of the main reasons, or one of the important reasons why I wanted to read this chapter and these lines here is for us to understand, while it says رُحَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ, it doesn't mean that if amongst us a Muslim does something wrong, just, okay, rahma means smile at them. No. Part of rahma, you know how much mercy there is in this? If one group of mu'mineen is acting aggressively, fighting, killing from the other Muslimin, they're going to hell if they continue with that. Isn't this mercy for me to help stop that and push them to behave correctly and to pay for the wrong they did, compensate for the wrong they did? That is mercy. Mercy doesn't mean smiling all the time. That's an incorrect understanding. It says, رُحَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ. This verse doesn't contradict that other verse. They are mu'mineen. It says, إِن طَائِفَةً مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. Two groups of mu'mineen. The Quran doesn't say one is mu'min, the other is non-mu'min. There are two groups of mu'mineen. One is fighting the other. The other verse said, رُحَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Okay. So does this contradict those? No. This is an instance of rahmah. This is an instance of rahmah. This is even an instance of lowering myself. Why? Because if I go to them and say, you need to stop this, they're going to act with aggression towards me, at least in words. I'm lowering myself. I'm going there and saying, brother, you shouldn't be doing this. If they don't listen, I fight them. Well, you know what? They're not going to like me for doing that. I'm lowering myself. I'm doing this for your good. These are important things. We have to see that the verses of the Quran, none of them contradict each other. So that approach is the approach of rahmah, the approach of dhillah. What that translates to, we've got to look at the verses of the Quran and see what that be, what adhillah, what lowering myself translates to in different contexts. If there is something wrong being done towards me, personally, what level of wrong, what my behavior should be towards them, what is lowering, what is correct lowering, what isn't. So first, we're correcting our understanding generally that we need to feel lower and try to work on that in our own minds, in our own hearts. While we do that, in terms of what that translates to in action, we've got to go back to the Quran, read it, and see what this means. Now, going back to that general idea, another word we have here is إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. See, again, what context is the Quran saying إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً? Your brothers and sisters, your siblings. In the context where some are killing the others. It says, hey, you guys are siblings. The other Muslimin that are watching this, أَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Bring them together. You have a responsibility. Try to... So, if our mindset, if our hearts start seeing Muslimin across the globe, whether they look Southeast Asian in Malaysia, Indonesia, over there in the Philippines, they look Chinese in China, they look Sri Lankan, the darkest South Asians that at least I have seen, or the whatever color, whatever, and wherever they are. I use both of those. Both of these are issues, and there is a verse about this. If they are Muslimin, my thought towards them, my feeling towards them should be ikhwah, brotherhood, sisterhood. We're siblings. How do siblings feel towards each other? That close. I mean, that's the closest relationship of two people that are not, is not a parental relationship. The closest you can get is a relationship of siblings. That's the closest you can get in a human relationship. It says this is your relationship. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some advice in terms of behavior, specific things. Again, they're not like so particular where it's in this context, say this or say that. Sometimes we look for something that's too specific. These are general guidelines, but they are behavioral. They are practical. They do relate to our conduct, our words, our speech, the way we behave towards another person. I'm wondering which one, because there's a number of them. And let me start with, there's really nice points. Some of them may not be exactly related to the topic of akhlaq between mu'minin, which is our topic. But some of these side points, again, looking at it in the context of the Quran, this chapter is talking about the relationship between Muslimin amongst themselves, towards the Prophet and between themselves. In that context, God mentions it in a slightly different way, so it tells us that we can do this as well. The verse says, verse 11, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, La yaskhar qawmun min qawmin, Asa an yakunu khayran minhum, Wala nisa'un min nisa'in, Asa an yakunna khayran minhun. ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. This verse, again, a lot of us must have heard this. I don't want to consider this session a focus on these specific teachings. I'm trying to use this to understand what those general guidelines that are not even behavioral, they are something that is in my mind, in my heart towards people, which is the basis of the relationship, and that needs to be corrected. What that translates to partially, just to get a little touch of that, so it's not completely untangible. That's the reason why we're doing this. Otherwise, this each of these requires its own discussion. Inshallah, we're going to get to them. So just understand the reason why I'm being very brief here in the last few minutes. I'm not talking about these in any form of depth. It's just to get a couple ideas across for it to become a little more tangible. It says, so, O you who believe, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. A people should not mock another people, should not make fun of another people. This is where I said it's slightly off topic. It's not entirely, but let's get to the point. It says, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Pay close attention to the details of God's words. Please, we need to do this. It addresses the mu'mineen, but then what's the address? Okay. The audience, the one who he's addressing, he identifies that I'm talking to the mu'mineen. I'm not talking to people in general. This is addressing mu'mineen. There are times where it says, Ya ayyuhan nas. Okay, so it's believers. But what is being said? Pay attention, the first couple, at least, or general. It says, La yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. No people should mock any people. Okay. You shouldn't do that. Mockery, making fun of, laughing at a people is wrong. This is wrong. And this has to do with, you know, a people towards another people, whether they are Muslim or not. This is what we mean. Right? This is slightly off topic. It's not only related to the akhlaq of mu'mineen with another mu'min. La yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. Sukhra, laughing at, making a mockery out of someone, out of a people, laughing at them because of their color, because of their shape, because of their speech, because of them not being developed people, because of this part of their culture, because of their food, because of whatever. لا يسخر قوم من قوم, period. Mockery towards another people. Another, whatever is other than you. You consider yourself whatever it may be. Okay. Your parents may be Pakistani, you identify as British and you mock Pakistani. So I've seen that. Iranian, same thing. If you're sitting here in Los Angeles, you start making fun of Persian or Iranian or this, that, the other. Okay. Because you don't identify as that. Identifying as something, whatever you identify as, okay, whoever is not classified according to your categorization as you, it's some other, okay. لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Do not do that, period. Okay. Why? عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم. Maybe, perhaps, they're better than you. Why is this being said? It's because when you mock someone else, it's clear to you, it's clear to me that I'm above them. That's why I laugh at them. Look at these people. Look at the way they eat. Look at the way they, look at their food. I mean, they're disgusting. Laugh at them and whatever. Why? I feel above them. Do not feel superior to a people as a people. Iman and kufr as ideologies, those ideologies are superior and inferior, the ideology. But as a people, should I make fun of, let's say, nobody does this, but if it were at a certain time, we, and this did happen back in the days, okay, when the Muslimin conquered certain areas, you know, up to certain parts of Eastern Europe were conquered by the Muslimin and they became Muslim. The war in Bosnia was against Muslimin. They were Bosnian Muslims. They're European. You wouldn't be able to identify them in any way as Middle Eastern. They're not. They don't. If any of them, hardly anything, any type of lineage, if any of them has any type of genes from the Middle East, they're completely European. And that's not the only country. There's many. Albania is another example. This is a Muslim country. It's in Eastern Europe. And further, there's various regions. So the Muslimin came, those regions generally were less developed than the Muslimin. So at that time, it probably, for some people, unfortunately, probably did happen. But if these are non-Muslims, can I laugh at Caucasian Americans or white British people, mock them and consider my race, my whatever above theirs? No. They're kuffar and we're not. Doesn't matter. لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Period. Okay. I saw you. They may be better. Right now, it looks as though I am Muslim. And they're not. How do you know? Those people may have the potential. And at the right time, they will join the imam. And you and your people, or I and my people, will abandon the imam. You don't know. Don't make that judgment. That's a wrong judgment. Okay. Looking at the time, I think, let me just connect this to the general and stop. I don't think we're going to read any more. So in the context of mu'minin, that's general, but it also does include the part about the believers. So when we have this feeling of adillatin ala al-mu'minin, and we have that rahmah in abundance, one of the things that happens is that I've lowered myself. I don't consider myself superior. My way of eating, my way of dressing, my way of speaking, my way of whatever it is, I've lowered myself. Then I won't be going and mocking them. If I don't have that adillatun ala al-mu'minin, it will reflect in me saying, oh, look at these. I'm really ashamed of using these words and I really hate them. They really disturb me. But I've heard these. Oh, look at this Afghan person. Look at that Iranian. Look at that Pakistan. Look at this black guy. Look at this. What the heck are you talking about? What is this supposed to mean? Where'd you get the idea that you have any right in doing that? As a mu'min, as a non-mu'min, non-Muslim, whatever their, you know, anybody's ideology comes from, that's their thing to deal with. Are you Muslim? You consider yourself a Muslim? And this is our behavior? This is how I feel? Not only do I feel that way, I express it and I think it's completely fine that I express towards whole people that are all Muslimin even. As we said, this particular thing is not even limited to mu'minin. It's across the board. Do not make fun of the way of speech, the way of eating, their customs. Don't do that. It's wrong, period. And not only do I give myself the right to do that, I even express it and expect laughter from people. And then unfortunately, there is that, astaghfirullah al-azim. What's the problem? Again, I want to limit our discussion to the mu'min part of this. It's because we're not doing that. We don't have our minds, the way we work, the way my thoughts work, the way my heart feels, is not adhillatun ala al-mu'minin. Whoever it is, however different they may look, dress, eat, speak, and whatever else, they are Muslim. Adhillah, that needed to happen, it didn't happen. That's why I have this behavior. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us cure this evil and ill in our hearts and minds, and be able to make progress towards what the Quran says, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, inshallah. Apologies.
No, Shaykh. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. That was extremely insightful. I'm learning so much in the last few weeks. And that, you know, there is so much to just the literal meaning of akhlaq, which, you know, you explained very, very nicely. And I hope that our viewers are actually taking in so much. But it's not about just taking so much. It's about actually implementing it into our own lives and learning that, you know, some of our behaviors definitely need to change. Thank you very much, Sheikh, for your time. Inshallah, look forward to part four next week on Wednesday. For all other viewers, Project Zainab Live will be on Tuesday next week again. We have Sister Duri Shawar coming from Pakistan, Karachi, and she's done amazing work with the community, and you know, she's very, very inspiring for a lot of the women who feel that, you know, women don't have a space in the community, but she's doing some marvelous work. Inshallah, look forward to hearing from Sister Duri Shawar. And see you back next week, Sheikh, on Wednesday. And for everyone on Project Zainab, we're trying to make your family a better family, an improved family, and inshallah, an improved community.